From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, July 17th, 2020. Governor Janet Mills has allocated $165 million from the more than $1 billion the state has received under the Federal CARES Act to help schools reopen in the fall. Mills also announced the dedication of another $8 million in aid to child care facilities, in addition to $11 million in CARES funds already committed. More on the story coming up. The federal government says unemployment in Maine fell last month from over 9% to 6.6%. State officials say they also believe that unemployment fell, but more likely from 18% to 12%. State labor economist Glenn Mills says the discrepancy is caused by the way the federal government generates its numbers.
It's a survey of individuals, of households, and many of those people simply can't know the financial status of their employer.
Mills says many of those surveyed may be misled into thinking that their layoffs are temporary rather than permanent. On the other hand, Mills says additional federal aid might save jobs thought to be lost. Mills says taking all factors into account, state officials believe 18% of Mainers were out of work in May and that the number fell to about 12% last month. Senator Angus King has joined with 45 other Senate colleagues in objecting to a Trump administration policy change on how local hospitals report data on the COVID-19 pandemic. Mal Leary reports.
The Trump administration has directed hospitals to report coronavirus data directly to the Department of Health and Human Services instead of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. King says the change has confused hospitals and raises serious questions.
It makes no sense. They've given no reason for it. And it raises the question of, are we going to be able to get straight data?
King says he is looking at legislation that would return the reporting of data to the CDC. He says it is important that the public have confidence in the official information being reported on the pandemic and its impact on different parts of the country. From 8 Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
This week on Maine's Political Pulse. The congressional primaries are over, the general election races are mostly settled, and a high-profile race for the U.S. Senate held by Senator Susan Collins kicks into high gear. Join me, Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler, and Senior Correspondent Mal Leary for Maine's Political Pulse, available online by Friday afternoons, also on the air Sunday during Weekend Edition and during Monday's Morning Edition. Maine's Political Pulse, available anytime at mainepublic.org.
This past week on Maine Calling, Monday, anxiety during the COVID crisis. Tuesday, the divide over masks. Wednesday, the life and legacy of Francis Perkins. Thursday, domestic abuse on the rise. And Friday, Maine authors and summer reads. Maine Calling, online anytime at mainecalling.org.
Drug overdose deaths in Maine are on the rise. According to a report from the State Attorney General's Office, drug deaths increased by 23% in the first quarter of this year compared to the last quarter of 2019. As Patty White reports, substance abuse experts say the coronavirus pandemic is considered a major factor behind the surge.
From January through March, 127 people in Maine died from drug overdoses. That's compared to 103 people who died in the 3 months prior. Most of the deaths were caused by two or more drugs, with at least one being opioids. And preliminary overdose numbers for the second quarter of this year show a continuation of the upward trend. The increase isn't a surprise to Suzanne Farley, the executive director of Bangor-based addiction treatment agency Wellspring. She says many people are confronting additional stresses caused by the coronavirus pandemic, such as isolation and unemployment.
You know, they're worried about the future. They don't know what the future holds. All of those things create anxiety in people, and people are looking for relief from anxiety often, and substances do that.
Farley says boosting reimbursement rates for substance use treatment would help. It would allow Wellspring to attract and hire more staff to serve additional clients. In a written statement, Maine's Director of Opioid Response, Gordon Smith, says the state is holding a summit next Thursday that will examine current efforts and consider steps to improve access to remote recovery services. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
This year's back-to-school preparations will be like no other. With classes resuming in just a month and a half, state officials revealed today some details of how they envision schools will go forward with in-classroom instruction. Governor Janet Mills made a point of stressing that Maine, and not President Trump, will decide if or when schools will open. But as Jennifer Mitchell reports, a number of questions remain.
According to the state's reopening plan, each of Maine's 16 counties will be monitored for COVID-19 trends and assigned a traffic-style alert color to help schools determine when or if they should be open.
The designation of red indicates the county has a high risk of COVID-19 spread and that in-classroom learning in schools should not be conducted.
Governor Janet Mills announced the plan at a press conference on Friday. Schools and counties with a yellow designation are advised to adopt a hybrid style of education, such as some in-person classes and some remote distance classes, to reduce the amount of people together at one time. Schools in a green county may resume in-person instruction. Maine Center for Disease Control Director Dr. Nirav Shah says in all cases, classrooms open full-time or part-time will be required to follow guidelines set forth by his department.
These include, among other things, symptom screening before coming to the school building, physical distancing within the facility itself, ensuring that children are provided with and are wearing face coverings.
Other items on the checklist include hand hygiene enforcement and the understanding that any child who is unwell must remain home. Maine DOE Commissioner Pender Macon says these things, even mask wearing for small children age 2 and over, have been done successfully elsewhere. But she says parents can help.
Consider, please, modeling and supporting your children this summer as they're out in the community in practicing wearing those masks. So the first exposure to that isn't something that's being enforced in a classroom, but rather something that's part of our collective social interaction together as a community and a state who are together surviving a pandemic.
Less clear is whether all the school systems and the local boards that run them will be adequately prepared or willing to comply with all of the mandates. Over the course of the pandemic, while many have followed guidelines ordered by the state, some businesses and even whole municipalities have been seen to flout the rules.
We're not sending the police after any school teachers or superintendents who don't require 6 feet here, 3 feet there, on a particular day in a particular classroom. That's not what this is about.
Mills says she believes there is consensus among school systems and they will comply.
We fully expect compliance because everybody shares the same concern here. We want to make schools available again. We don't want our kids to drop off the cliff of losing their achievement and increasing the achievement gaps that may already exist.
Even if districts are willing, funding is likely to be an issue. Mills says she's assigning $165 million in federal CARES Act funds to help get schools started with the reopening process. But the figure falls well short of the $320 million that education officials have said they need. And other questions remain as well, such as how some parents will cope with the uncertainty of a school that may be in session 1 week, partially in session another week, and out of session altogether the following week. Teachers have also expressed concerns about whether enough PPE or personal protective equipment will be available and whether small classrooms can be made safe. Mills says she's hopeful that lawmakers in Washington will soon make more funds available through at least four subsequent pandemic relief bills currently under consideration to further aid schools in making the necessary alterations. In the meantime, schools will be notified sometime next week of what their share of the initial round of reopening money will be. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
This is All Things Considered. I'm Ed Warren. Maine election officials say they've begun determining the winner of a Republican primary for a U.S. House of Representatives seat using ranked choice voting. Former State Rep. Dale Crafts won Tuesday's initial round of voting, but did not crack 50% of the vote, which triggers a ranked runoff under Maine law. A spokeswoman for the Maine Department of the Secretary of State said the counting began today and results could be determined within a week. Kraft sought the GOP nomination to run against Democratic Representative Jared Golden in Maine's 2nd Congressional District. His opponents, Adrian Bennett and Eric Brakey, have already conceded and thrown their support behind Kraft's. Cities, towns, and rural areas around Maine are set to receive thousands of dollars in grants to manage tree resources in their communities. The Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry's Project Canopy program will provide up to $8,000 in funding. The state intends the grants to foster development and implement of community forestry programs and projects. Planning grant recipients include Seven Lakes Alliance, Bangor, and the Mahoosick Land Trust. Planning grant recipients include Auburn, Rockland, and Sanford. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Ed Morin.